familiar with Shakespeare's technique for capturing the audience? All right. It was called in medias res. So you don't give any backstory. It's a cold open, but it's the coldest of opens. And you can see it in shows when you watch a show. Like Breaking Bad, the pilot episode.
Okay.
You see Walter White. He comes out of the trailer. He's cooking meth and he's got a gun and he's in his underwear. And there's no backstory for that at first, right? So that captures your attention. So with Shakespeare, it either starts with a sex scene or a war or some type of betrayal, and then, like, you don't even know any of the characters' names, and then act one will go into why they were doing it, act two will give backstory to their motivations, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So that's what this is. There's okay. No, not even an introduction. You just go in with the, oh, do you know, are you familiar with Shakespeare's technique of capturing the audience?
Okay.
Yeah. So this is really an open forum to talk about whatever you want to talk about, wherever you want to talk about it, and not have to explain, oh, here's my guest. Oh, my name is Dave Woods. No. Just right in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the whole thing. That's the and it's the perfect icebreaker. I don't want to give away too many secrets for anyone who's a fellow podcaster. That's how you do it. You ease in by doing a cold open, and it's just a conversation.
Okay, so my name is Saray Alvarez. I'm from Venezuela. I'm coming from a worker, relative, big family, and the third of four kids. We are three girls and one guy, my brother, who is the second. The main thing for us was working together. As a family, they have a family business that was horse racing.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Gambling.
Whoa. Hey.
When people have to bet.
Uh-huh.
So early, saying 7 years old, I was already part of that, like going to school and then going there and helping as a family. So it was a moment that the four of us, plus my mom, my dad, and any other employee was part of that.
Wow.
And then beside that, then my dad, my mom, they own a restaurant. So it was a restaurant plus all the scream, the whole racing in Venezuela and here in United States. People, like gambling, you know, whoa, putting money. So I was in that environment, where art was a big part. My dad was a musician. He played violin, piano. And my mom, she always loved art, painting. So I did painting.
Wow.
Also. But sports was something that was not part of our life style.
Wow. Multiple questions already out of the gate. Horse racing, gambling, arts. And this sounds way better than dinner and a movie. That is, it was like, oh, the casino and classical music. Whoa! So I can only imagine now how that's impacted just your career as a makeup artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a huge background like that.
Yeah, I always love painting. And then in my journey, I was a preschool teacher too for 15 years.
Okay.
And everything changed when I had my second daughter, when I decided to become a makeup artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big jump.
Yeah.
Well, actually, in my experience, I found that petulant children are not far from what they're like as adults. So maybe it wasn't a hard jump to go from teaching preschool to doing makeup art, being a makeup artist for, high-profile clients and venues and gigs.
Yeah. And I love that relationship with the person.
Okay.
Like, I'm in my moment when I'm having that connection with my client, because everybody's so unique, and it brings me so much peace. Like, And in that moment, I guess, you know, how you feel when you're doing what you love.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. But then also, part of my backstory, when I started high school, my brother always told me, like, I was the chubby in my house, right? And that stuck with me until I decided, like, okay, this is not going to be me.
Yeah.
At that moment, at that age, was like, I don't want them to tell me I'm the chubby in my family.
Yeah.
So I make a decision, like, stop having dinner and going to the gym.
Okay.
For 2 hours.
Oh, wow, intense.
Daily. Yeah. So, and that was when I was in the beginning of high school, okay, like 12. Yeah. Like,
wow.
Like 12 years old.
Wow.
So I make that change by saying that from there to now, there'll be so much up and downs,
mm-hmm,
right? First, because when you are at that age, you think a lot about the outside, how people are going to look at you, how they are, yeah, like, what is the perception? You are going to be part of a group. They are going to, because at that moment, you want to be just be loved, mm-hmm, and be accepted.
Yes.
You know, it's so important to be accepted outside at that age. And then going on with everything that I told you, like my family business, and then going to work and then studying. And for me, that life was always like going and going and going without like taking a time to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and see inside myself.
Okay. Wow.
And that is a big change until saying every moment until now, that is still I'm more conscious about how important it is to look into yourself and take that time to, yeah, to see where you are and how you're feeling.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said it the way that you did. You articulated very well, and how the motivation came from some negative words that were said to you from someone close to you, your brother, and you took it to heart and said, "I'm going to change. I'm going to go to the gym. I want to fit in." And that's a desire that we all have to do that. But then noticing that there was some things that were going on in your heart. I mean, you were a teenager, an adolescent, turning into a woman. And where do you think it shifted to be something that was healthy and for you and not for outside motivators, like someone saying something negative, the fear of being called XYZ? Yeah.
So the fitness, I will say I always was committed with myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Venezuela, the part of eating is kind of like the same in Europe when we have more salads, soups, and coming from, it's different when you move to here, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like,
so even though, like, I have been coming from, you know, like, feeling good about myself and seeing some way that the ways that is healthy for you to eat when I moved to here. And because when you're young, you don't think about what is going to happen in a future, right?
Yeah.
You think that you are in there and you're always going to have the same body, the same energy, like my flexibility is really bad, always being like bad, but at that moment, I was like, at 27, I was not thinking about that. Like, I was not feeling anything. So I was like, oh, I'm perfect. Like, I'm doing my workout and I'm running and doing this, and then I can eat whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes. So it was a big change.
Yeah.
From when I moved almost 20 years ago from Venezuela to here.
Wow.
In the eating, because you were more into like burgers and french fries. And I was not like a crazy, but it was a time that I was like, oh, I can eat twice a week, you know, and it's okay. Yeah. And at that time, maybe it was it didn't affect, you know, myself or my body or my fitness goal. But then I'm going to be 48 this year.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's like you need to pay more attention about what you put in your body.
Yeah, for the long haul.
Exactly.
Like you're investing in yourself, in your future self. And that what you just said is exactly the motivation in the last couple of years for me of saying, if I want to be fit and active for baby girl, I'm going to need to be getting in shape now and not say, oh, when I'm older, I can start going to the gym again, maybe have a routine instead of going willy-nilly or just lifting in a certain way. But then listening to what was going on internally and then the externally, what are those factors that are going on, and then start planning for it. And that planning for it is the thing that started the journey of losing 100 pounds. So with you describing this, I feel like this is the pearls of wisdom that you're saying is, okay, I used to be able to do things a certain way and not be concerned with the result later. And now I'm starting to see, after more kids, after the years pass, I need to start planning because I'm not the same that I used to be. And that right there, I think, is the key, especially the younger we start, the better you're set up for the future physically.
Exactly.
And if I had known the things that I knew now, I never would have got out of shape, right? Like I got in shape in high school to play sports and then should have stayed there. I didn't, because the mind didn't also grow at the same rate. And it was more being naive about the future. But, you know, that's Hard Knock University, HKU. That's what they say, HKU, that you're going to learn. You might have gotten the degree, but you're going to really learn what life is like now. I'm like, oh, all right. All right, well, let's do this. Let's come up with a plan. Let's stick to the plan. Let's carry it out. Then survey the land. How do you feel now? And one of the things that I wanted to just examine as something that anyone listening could take away is, if you're able to imagine yourself as the last day you're going to have is your 60th birthday, right? How would you plan it, no matter where you're at, whether you're in high school, college, postgraduate, kids, whatever the case, if you knew for certain, it was guaranteed, right? I don't know. Maybe this might be an idea for Stephen King. You know, you get the monkey paw with the grants you wishes, right? But it says the consequences of these three wishes are you're going to die on your 60th birthday, right? But Stephen King can take it if you want. It would be, well, what would you do today? Right. Oh, man. As a 38-year-old, 37. I almost forgot how old I was. As a 37-year-old, if I knew I had that much time, but with what I know now, especially with what life looks like, I'd push myself just as hard right now. And if I was older than I was, say I was 58 years old, I better be where that ideal level of energy and fitness and physique is, instead of being like, oh no, I've got 2 years and it's guaranteed I'm going to die on my birthday. So now it's the moment of thinking, being aware of what is happening currently and planning for the future. Okay. Well, if I knew I was going to die when I was 100, I think I'd want to get the best shape possible and then be able to just cruise and ease into it, but still maintain, right?
Exactly. And I say we can do it. I think, like, we need to work in our consciousness.
Absolutely.
You know, like how we talk
yes.
about it, about how we want to, and how we are going to like live every day, like a plan for the future, but like be present in the now. Mm-hmm. and talk to yourself. It's so important to, like, use positive words and say to yourself, like, how you are and how you want, like, in 100, like, if you get to 100, how you want to feel at that time, right? Also taking in mind I hear that in any goal that you plan, like, don't put your expectations too high. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In the way that also you enjoy the process, because that is the idea. Like, for example, like right now, starting January, I make a plan, my fitness plan for when is my birthday, mm-hmm. July 1st, oh. Right? So I wanted, like, say, I started, like, my weight was 135. My goal was to go down to 128.
Okay.
And then I want to be more lean and more strong. Right? So I'm in the middle right now. And then because I do my workout at home, at that time, I told my husband, I think I need somebody like guide me, because, like, I'm stuck and that can happen, mm-hmm. right? So I got in touch with a trainer who I'm working with him now. We are planning, and he's giving me the workout. But at the same time, I'm right here, and then I start asking my questions. I start asking myself, like, I'm going to be reaching those goals in July? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be that fit and that lean, how I visualize myself, mm-hmm. you know, how I can. I want to see myself in July. So I think we have to have, yeah, take that process, enjoy the process, and be compassionate in some way we ask, like, knowing that if you're doing your best and you're doing what you want and you are disciplined, but then with grace too, because there are something that is going to happen in that process that, for example, like, maybe I'm planning to work out 5 days a day, but then maybe one day something happens and I can't work out.
Murphy's Law. Yep. Something comes up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then knowing that it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, there is going to be a next day when you can keep doing your process, and that doesn't mean that you're not going to reach the goal that you have in mind.
You'll get there, especially if you say 5 days a week and you hit 4 out of the 5. And then the next week starts over, you say 5 days a week, mm-hmm. and you hit 5. And then the next couple weeks, you only do 3 days. You'll still get there.
Exactly.
Right? So, that's the thing that, especially with it's the amount of change needed might not work if you've been doing this for a while. It might. So the thing that I'm getting at is sometimes it might take. Oh, so what you did was the personal trainer. That's what changed where you were from what you were doing before. Mm-hmm. But then now if you have the personal trainer for 2 months, you know you have 2 months left. What does it look like for that projected time to get to your goal? And then what does the scale look like? All right, well, reassess it again. Is it going up? Or is it going down, like, dramatically, right? And I think that's up to everyone in terms of intensity. The whole thing later, though, will be what you're doing right now might not work for your next goal, right?
Exactly.
And that's the hardest part for me, is saying, oh, well, I lost 100 pounds. Well, now I'm trying to go to 185, and I'm 240 pounds. well, I know what I'll do, but it's not working. And I'm like, oh, well, why isn't it working? Oh, because that goal is even sharper than before. It's the bell curve, right? The closer you're getting, the fine-tuning you have to do is much harder than at the beginning. All right, so for me, it might mean going to the gym twice a day, doing that same workout, or being absolutely on my P's and Q's, you know, doing it to the T, almost perfectly. You know what? I'll give myself some grace. If I am 80% satisfied with my workout, and that's workout number one, I'm gonna need to do that again the next day or the same day. 80%. 80% will get there, but that's gonna be for 6 weeks, twice a day. We'll say 5 days a week. And that's something that I'm not doing right now. But if it was, I know that's the thing it would take to push harder to get to that goal, right? So let me just pause for a moment and say, where are you in terms of your comfortability at the gym? Like, would you call yourself a beginner, intermediate, advanced?
I'm intermediate.
Intermediate?
And then going to the gym, I did it until I had my first kid.
Okay.
So, and then I decided to run.
Oh, wow.
To work out at home. So right now, yeah, like 15 years ago, then until now I have some equipment in my house. I have weights, I have the bar, I have the bands, I have the steps. 2 years ago, my family gave me the Miro.
Oh, what's that?
From the Lululemon, the Miro, when you can have...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the
Miro
that you have all the training. So because they know how it is important for me. Yeah.
So you're living in the future. Yeah, you do.
and it's really like I was doing that.
Yeah.
And then, how you say, like, but I felt stuck. Uh-huh. Right? So that is what I say, like, I need someone that can tell me maybe how I need to change. Because how you say, the last... pounds, the last part of your goal is harder. Like, so sometimes you need to have an accountability.
Absolutely.
Body.
Oh, man.
Like, even like to motivate you, like, you are doing great. Let's keep going. Like, find someone that can give you a guide about like where you are and how you can reach your goal.
Yeah. And that's what you did. You have the equipment at home, you have the bands, and you have the Miro trainer. Can you say it again? What's the name of a
Miro? Yeah,
Miro.
It's like the Miro.
Miro, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That's the I don't remember what movie it was, but a character was having this heated conversation with someone. And then Serena Williams was like, hey, are we going to train or is this a bad time for you? And there was like the moment of the comedic relief because she was being put on hold and it's Serena Williams, right? Don't put her on hold. So, yeah, that's what reminded me of the equipment that you have. But that's the backstop that you had created for yourself.
Exactly.
I know if I don't have this equipment, it might be harder to go outside. It might be harder to go to the gym. It might be harder to get to this fitness class. I know if I have the equipment at home, I have no excuse. Oh, I'm starting to acquire more equipment. Oh, now it's even a better workout than before if I don't go to this other place. Oh, I have a personal trainer now. Okay, great, let's do this. And I can do this anywhere. So you're setting yourself up to hit your goals by having those little areas where you know yourself enough to say, if I don't have this, there'll be one day I don't feel like going to the gym or I don't want to do this workout. But if I get reminded because I have it right here, that makes it easier to do it and then you get there.
Yeah, and then it's your desire, right? And then for me, works to work out at home. But that doesn't mean that it's something that it goes with everybody.
Yes.
Like my friend, she needs to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. She enjoys going to the gym. And for her, she will say, if I don't have that motivation that I need to go there because I'm paying, you know, like I have a monthly payment and then I have to go there physically and move from my house or from my work to there, I'm not going to work out.
Oh, yeah. It's skin in the game. Yeah.
So especially like you need to know like what you are enjoying, right?
Yes.
Because in a long way, if you do what you like, you are going to get there and it's going to be easier. Yeah. So probably it's not like work out at home or work out in the gym. Maybe it's like playing tennis or doing, what is the another one that is now very popular? The
ping pong?
No, it's like a tennis and ping pong. I forgot the name.
Man, pickleball.
Pickleball.
Pickleball, yeah,
I saw
that.
Whatever goes with you that you are going to enjoy and at the same time you can be active, I think, like, you need to take that in consideration.
Absolutely. That's, hopefully, you don't know what it's like if you are in horse gambling, but stacking the deck. Do you know, are you familiar with that term? To stack the deck.
Yeah.
That's a positive way of cheating for workout. Say, I'm gonna put these things in my favor to help me get to this goal, my fitness goal. So I really wanna make sure I go to the gym, so I have a membership. I wanna make sure I work out, so I have the equipment at home. I wanna create an atmosphere of training, so you told your husband about it. You told a friend about it. Your friend checks in with you. You check in with your friends. That helps you stack the deck to get to your goal.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And it's so important.
Absolutely. That's that might be the other half after coming up with your plan and your timeline is saying, how can I put everything to my advantage? There's certain workouts I don't like doing, and now I don't want to work out this day. Come up with an excuse. All right. Well, get rid of that particular workout and find a way to get that same effect from that particular workout, but doing different exercises. Oh, I actually like doing these exercises. Oh, then do those ones. Yeah, definitely do those ones, and you'll get there.
Yeah, and there are going to be some time that you need to do those hard exercises that you don't want to, right? And it's part of like how that is going to help you to, let's say, hey, like burpees for me is like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Same. Yeah. I think the older I get, the more I'm like,
I know, but when you start, like, let's say I can do 10 burpees and then you start doing it, be consistent about it, and then you see like, oh, after I do 10 burpees, now I can do 20 burpees.
20 burpees, absolutely.
And then that is something that it gives you so much motivation about, like, I couldn't do this and now I can do it. And then you can take that to any part of your life. It's part of like tests that comes in your life, like embrace it and doing it, and it will help you to make you stronger and know that you can be capable to do whatever you set for you.
Absolutely. Are you familiar with the quote, confidence, wear it like makeup?
Yeah. Yes.
A wise woman once said, confidence, wear like makeup. Yeah, I love that as a motto because it makes so much sense. What? How did you come up with that?
So, I feel that they go together, right? And when you say confidence, you can hear and it seems so easy that That is the thing, like wearing like a makeup, like it's something that you need to do it and feel it every day. And we is, mm-hmm. right? But how you get there is more deep because it's a work that you need to do. Like when you say it's like, oh, wearing like a makeup, it's like, yeah, just like do it and be confident. But probably like you need to like, okay, like confidence means like how I feel about myself. And probably there is when you need to like talk to yourself and always like do the mirror work. I don't know if you're familiar with that, the mirror work.
Oh, when you walk me through
face
it. Yeah.
It's like we always have our insecurities, right? That probably make us back off and not do what we want or keep moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like go in front of the mirror and talk to yourself. And the, you know, like the Wonder Woman pose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is so important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Name any of them, yeah.
Yeah, and even if you are not in the mirror, but in any situation where you are going to do something, you are going to talk to your work team, or you have an important meeting, like you can do like the pose.
Absolutely.
Like 5 minutes before.
5 minutes, yeah.
And say to yourself.
Oh, wow, you do it in 5 minutes. Yeah.
Well, five minutes or 10 seconds. The time that you have, yeah. Right? But talk to yourself and say, like, I'm here, I'm brave, I'm powerful, I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. And that is something that even with my daughter that she say, like, we have it on a mirror, on the window, mm-hmm. and we say it.
Smart.
Like, when I work out, smart. Like, I say it to myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's so important. So the mirror is about, like, any time that you have, talk to yourself. In those, like, if you feel like you don't have that ability to speak up, so you say, I can talk loud.
Yes.
All the insecurities that you have, that you know that you want to work, say it to yourself in a positive way.
Oh, yeah. That's an affirmation.
Exactly.
Yeah, the words of affirmation.
Affirmation.
And let me just start by going back a moment to the pose, the position of the superhero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love that you used Wonder Woman as the example. I think more either Batman or Superman, okay. Wolverine. Those are the Hulk sometimes. Those are the couple go-tos that I think of. But that whole thing is when you see yourself in the mirror in that position, bodybuilding, a great example too, where they strike a pose, most muscular, and to see yourself and then to speak, not just think it, to speak it, those words like, oh, I am confident, oh, I can do this, is the beginning of changing the internal monologue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your brother, who had said some harsh words to a developing mind and developing heart in your teenage years, that, imagine if you'd been doing that right there. Well, imagine a year before your brother made that comment. And God bless family members. Those are like the people with the harshest, right? Without even realizing it. But that pose builds up the armor. So if someone were to make a comment, imagine you're walking down the street, some random person says a comment. If you had done the pose beforehand, what is this person talking about?
Yeah, what is exactly. Talking about? At first, like, I know that he didn't say at the moment with a bad, like, oh, I want to make her feel really bad. Like, he didn't do it in that way. But for me, was in that moment, how you say, if I had that pose, if I have that confident about myself, I will take that in consideration, because it was something positive in a way that, from what he was saying to me, I make that decision, like, to work out, right? To go to the gym. But at another side, the insecurity part about myself was in there. So at the moment, I have those words and I have that pose. It will be like, I hear you. Feel it, like, here, without, like, attach myself into that word. Like, oh, you're chubby. And then you say, like, okay, like, yeah, like, and yeah, I feel okay with how I am, or really, like, he's, yeah, like, maybe, yeah, like, I can take that in a positive way to do it, but without another, like, emotional part, you know, that sometimes we are so attached, because, like, I don't know if that happened to you, but still I'm working on, like, not be reactive in some situation when my emotional part can be affected. And how, like, when you take that, if you back off, then you can see in a different way.
Absolutely. Yeah, that happens to me all the time. And I think, especially now, especially with new people who didn't know me a couple of years ago, if there are comments, like physique-wise, whatever, even if it's positive, I kind of just let it settle in. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, thank you. I'm not there yet. Like, I'm on the road. That's the beauty of saying fitness journey. I'm on the road. I'm not there yet. But especially when someone says something negative, if I say, well, yeah, I lost 100 pounds, so that's a start. That changes the trajectory immediately, right, for whatever the thing was. And, you know, little kids are the meanest, right?
Totally, because they are honest.
Honest, yeah. But the one that gets me the most is when a baby girl grabs the bottom of my arm and goes, squishy. I'm like, all right. Well, how about now? She's like, no, oh, that's better. And then she starts going around doing that. And she's like, hey, everyone, look at my dad. I'm like, oh, don't draw attention. Okay. I can't explain this backstory now. I started working out even more intensely on certain areas because baby girl was mean. Right? And so it's not the same if someone else, especially an adult, because it's not, I feel like most people have some sense of decorum and etiquette to not make too many comments, right? It's usually a flip remark from a close relative. That's the one that lands. I'm like, oh, I can't believe that. That stung so much. Oh, it's because I hold that person in high esteem. I not necessarily seeking validation from them, but I take their words to heart. So when it comes from those people, I'm like, oh no, all right. Okay, let's go through. How about now? All right. do the pose right there. But that, I think that's the other aspect of training physically, are those words of affirmation.
Exactly.
And then those constant reminders of, oh, you know, I'm a unique individual. I'm one of one. There's not one of a million. No, there's only one Dave Woods. There's no one else, right? When I'm dead and gone, there's not going to be another one. It's going to be whoever this person is and only them, right? So it's not a moment of being able to be dispensable, but then it's celebrating the fact of uniqueness, right? And I wish I had known that growing up, hearing that part. I'm like, oh man, all right, let me start putting on the armor now, right? So those comments, what do the kids say? I am rubber, you are glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you, right? Oh, that's clever.
Kinda.
That's wisdom from the mouth of children. All right. I'm going to keep that one, not the... Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a moment to see the different areas that get trained up while you're on a journey.
Exactly.
And then continue doing that. So whatever obstacles come your way, it's standard procedure. Oh, I'm going to jump that. I'm going to run that hurdle, right? It'll be okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then that comes part of your life.
Absolutely.
Right? Your lifestyle. And now with my two kids, especially with my daughter, I want to show her first, like, I'm learning and I'm putting in practice about how I communicate about my fitness goal, right? Because it's like, I want to be skinny. I want to, is maybe those are not the best words. It's about, I want to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to not get tired,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a different way. Because it's like my daughter, she does gymnastics.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Right? And still I feel like she's going to get in that moment where they are going to be comparing your appearance, right?
Yes.
Your weight.
Oh, yeah.
Like your, and then they go, as a woman, you go to changes to body, like when your cycle comes
yes.
and your body starts changing. And it's so important, like, I want to help her to be strong, like mentally strong,
mm-hmm.
and be so confident
yes.
in herself that whatever she goes through, like, she's gonna be okay. Like, it's a process, and she's gonna be okay.
Yes.
And she's gonna find the best way that is the right for her.
My hat is off to you for recognizing that and then being able to pass that down to your daughters and help watch that develop, because as a man, I have no idea what that looks like to be on a 28-day cycle and then know, like, I can conceptualize it, but I don't actually know what that's like, right? There's going to be the loss of energy as you heal. There's going to be sensitivity to things that people say that are just turned up a little bit higher, right? And so now that I have a daughter, and I was completely naive. I don't even know when. I'd say since birth, I was naive about what life is like as a woman. But now that I have a daughter and she is, you know, I'm responsible for her upbringing. It goes, oh, now I have to learn. And not only learn, but adapt to help help her in that path of healthy awareness, healthy self-confidence, and also learn at the same time for me how to not just, you know, push it off. Oh, just shake it off. Just go. Just mm-hmm. do it anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that probably works for men more than it does for women, right? Like, oh, you're going to be okay. Only because... you know, I think we're less developed.
I see men too. I see, like, how you're saying
yeah.
is like, check it off and keep going. And there are going to be moments about, like, yeah, you check it off mm-hmm. and keep going, but also validate mm-hmm. your emotions, you know.
Absolutely.
Their emotions. And show them how important is to pay attention to how everybody, like, how they feel.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes you don't pay attention to how they're feeling or how you're feeling at that time, and you just check it off and keep going, then there's going to be a moment that is going to catch you right
absolutely.
There.
Oh, absolutely.
In the future.
Yep.
Like...
Absolutely. And that's, if you're not reading the signs and symptoms of someone's emotional state, mental state, that might explain someone, you know, blowing a gasket and flipping a table and going off in a way that they wouldn't normally go off because you just pushed a little too hard or were too dismissive when someone was trying to tell you something. And I'm like, oh man, okay. Not everyone is in my headspace. Of course not, because it's me. But then when I step out of that, I'm like, oh, well, what's going on in your world? How do you go about doing things and meet people where they're at? I think that's where the magic happens for being able to connect and then collaborate, right? That's the whole thing you want to get at, is for the teamwork and working together. So, yeah, this is an adventure. Life is an adventure.
Yeah.
Right.
Like how you say connection is so important. Connection to yourself and connection with the people that is around you. Because, yeah, we are in the physical world where we need each other.
Yes.
Like, and we need each other in a good way. Like, just like I need you, like, to collaborate, how you say, to validate and to, yeah, coming from a giving place in both places. Mm. Like, when we are just, like, helping each other in a different way.
Absolutely. That's the expression, to know me is to love me. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, if I speak in a certain way and it's not your language, it's going to be gobbledygook and mean nothing. But if I approach you with that love language, oh, all of a sudden, we're able to speak the same language. Well, that's cool. Let's move forward. Help shoulder the burden of all of life's problems when we do that. And alcohol works too. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Humor is that lubricant, that social lubricant. And if you're 21 plus, yeah, then go for it. But yeah,
humor is important. And sometimes I need to remember that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you take so seriously everything that you do in your life, and you want to. Yeah, to like have your day to be perfect in a way that you want it, and then something happened, then mess up with everything, and then I feel that is the moment when we need to bring humor in that moment.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the other trick of doing the pose, the physical pose, the superhero pose. Is to say to yourself, I'm great at this activity, whatever the thing is. Oh, I love public speaking, right? I love having these hard conversations with people for conflict resolution, whatever it may be. Oh, I love doing podcasts. Oh, I love speaking live on television. Then name any task, right? The task that you dread, say you love doing this and that you're great at it, all of a sudden the tension goes down. The nervousness goes down, right? I put that on that's another one of the things in the arsenal, in the tool belt for having the confidence. It's going, do the pose, so you set yourself visually, speak it, so you hear it and you internalize it, and your mind is set and anchored. And then the next thing for verbalizing it is, despite your feelings, say, I love doing this, right?
Exactly, yeah. And then make the step. Do the action, right. And be certain that everything is going to work out for you.
Let me ask you this. If you don't like doing burpees, but you know you can do 10 burpees, if I said, oh, could you just do one burpee? Let's say you do one burpee. Would you be able to do one burpee?
Yeah.
All right. Imagine next step. I'm not going to make you do it. This is, first you have headphones on, so it's not going to work. But the whole thing is, if after you do one, is it harder to do number two?
No.
No, right?
No, I feel like, after 10... Yeah. You know, 10 easily, then when you start feeling more like getting tired. It's yes. like when it's like, like yes. but you keep going.
But then you did 10. Yeah. But you got yourself to do 10 there. Exactly. Right? So imagine every single time you have that internal resistance for that activity you don't like, just try and do one. And then after you do one, you just, oh, I'm already here. I might as well do two. Oh, okay, cool. 3, 4, 5. You feel it on 10. Okay, you already did one set of 10. Can you do another set? Take a 10-minute break, right? But yeah, right?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, like how you're saying, like if I did 10, you take me, but then that encourage you to say like, okay, if I did 10, I can do 10 more.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like the same, like today I was for my running, and first I was looking myself to my finish goal, right? Like doing my 2 miles, mm-hmm. like from my house to going all around and then getting back home, like happily.
Yeah, yes.
Because I did my goal. Well. And yeah, and I was success in what I was expecting, uh-huh. right? But then when I start doing my running, it's like I start like, you know, like seeing myself like from here to the corner, mm-hmm. right? And just like, okay, I'm gonna run from here to the corner. Mm-hmm. And then it's like when I get there, it's like, oh, now from here to the stop sign. And then it's like you see yourself reaching the bigger goal that you have, mm-hmm. but in the process you get to smaller goals that will help you
Absolutely.
To get there.
That's a good mental trick too, is you're already on that path of running. I'm not going to think about even being halfway there or even a quarter of the way there. I'm just going to get from this corner to the stop sign. I'm going to get from this stop sign to that building. Mm-hmm. That is a great method. I'm going to steal that.
And that helps. That helps.
Absolutely.
And then when you even notice it, then you got to your finish line. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I did it.
I did it. Wow. No, it's not that bad. Do you ever finish the workout and you're like, I think I can do more? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. So that, to me, is the place I try and visualize in my car before I work out. It's like, when I get done with this workout, oh, it's going to be tough to do this workout, but when I'm done, will there still be anything left in the tank? If so, push harder. That's when I step it up further.
Yeah, and you feel like that, you can do more. Like,
oh, yeah.
Push harder. Yeah, like do an extra 10 minutes. Like even doing something else, like any other, like maybe it's going to be a stretching mm-hmm. more. Talking about that, stretching for me is something that I need to do mm. every day.
Absolutely.
Because my flexibility is really bad. Mm. And I know that doesn't matter what workout I'm going to do, mm-hmm. doing my stretching is essential.
Absolutely. This is, if I don't stretch, I feel injured. Just because of, the recovery portion. If I don't stretch and get the muscles and tendons loose again, I feel like a cramp is about to happen, or pulling a hamstring is about to happen, or my core hurts. And you know those muscles are very important, like the psoas, IT band, sciatic nerve, all those things. When they're healing, it's painful to me. But when you stretch and you stretch it out, you're like, oh, all I had to do was get it loose. Oh, man, how many injuries would be prevented if people, what's that term called? They swallow the frog. Ever heard that before? Doing the task that someone else doesn't want to do. Like if you're able to do that, it sets you up. It's unpleasant in the moment, but then it sets you up to continue forward. Yeah, and if you're looking at all the greats in athletics, they were always willing to do the thing their opponent was not willing to do, right? So if you knew the standard was to run 2 miles and you want to run Well, how often do you run?
Like twice a week.
Twice a week. Mm-hmm. If you knew that your training buddy or your personal trainer who you look up to, or the other person who's in this fitness competition with you, or fitness journey, but specifically with you, if you knew they don't miss any days of running 2 miles, how does that impact how you put on your shoes to go running?
Oh, it will encourage myself to do more.
Oh,
exactly. Absolutely.
How do we, let's keep that. Because it's like, wait a second. Oh, I know. I don't really want to run 2 miles, but when I'm done with 2 miles, I'll feel good. I might be able to do another quarter mile, another half mile, another mile. The second I see that the person who's in my league is doing it, however, by any means necessary, they're doing 2 miles, I feel just like, you know, I'm like, I'm going to do more. I'm going to raise that standard. I'm going to run 3 miles every day. I don't want to run 3 miles, but I'm going to run 3 miles. So that's a moment that just, it made the light bulb go off in my mind of doing the thing that I don't want to do. And that's running. I definitely, that's the one I like the least. But when I do some soul searching, when I was in the epitome of shape, it was running 5 miles a day. And I was doing that. And it was only because the Mad Dogs, you know, I used to play rugby for the Northeastern men's team. A lot of the teams we played, that was standard exercise. Like when we played West Point, right, those guys run 5 miles every day as part of their PT in the morning. Right before they go to breakfast, they run 5 miles. And at first, it's like, oh, okay, that's just them. And then when we played them, they weren't ever out of breath. All right. Well, how did you get to that point? Well, it's ingrained in us as a routine, a standard, 5 miles a day. All of a sudden, we're sucking wind, right? We're really out of breath, huffing and puffing, and they're doing just fine. It's like, oh man, is that what it takes? Absolutely, it's absolutely what it takes. It's absolutely what it takes. So, that's the thing, and I'm just. You inspired me just in this conversation to realize, oh, I'm going to need to go back to that and work up to it. I'm going to treat it like burpees. I don't want to do any burpees. Let me just do one. Okay, I'm here. Let me do two. Well, we're really in the middle of this now. 10. All right, 10. It's done. Next week, I'm going to try and do 11. That's going to be my new set. It's going to be a set of 11. Okay. Typically, at least in my world, by the end of week 2, I'm like, okay, I can do 15. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the new standard. If not, I'm going to do 2 sets of 10. So it's that progressive increase, the progressive overload of saying, set 1 is 10, try and get 11. Set is 10, make it to 12. The week 3 is 2 sets of 10. Week 4 is 3 sets of 10. 3 sets of 10. And see how long I can do that for. Does it hurt? Does it hurt in a good way? Or mm-hmm. am I able to handle that? In that case, increase it more and see how I feel at the end of 6 weeks. By the end of 6 weeks, the new standard has been set. Exactly. Okay. Take a little bit of a break. Not too much of a break, right? A couple days off. Go into Session 2 of 6 week, that cycle, new cycle of 6 weeks, doing 3 sets of 10. Oh, how come at the end of that, I'm doing 4 sets of 10? Oh, that's not enough, so I need to increase the sets to be a set of 20. Well, how many sets of 20 can I do? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, cycle 3 comes up, week 1. Oh, I got in shape. I really got in shape fast, right? So I think that's the whole thing, especially if someone's a beginner, of saying, okay, you really need to gauge what you can do and set a small goal, 1 to 10. And then slowly increase it, slowly increase it, slowly increase, and then say, The new normal is this. Nothing less, nothing more. Push it again and then see how it goes. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden you're doing a P90X, no problem.
It's like you dance, right? Mm-hmm. You have this dance with the process, mm-hmm. like when you, like a free dance, mm-hmm. like, okay, you do your dance and then you see how you feel and you keep pushing yourself mm-hmm. and keep going with your goals.
And that's actually the reason why I was late today, because I was freestyle dancing.
So did you do the P?
Like, oh, no. All right, so confession time. I used to work at Reebok, and we had those for free. We had the whole, all back in the day, all the DVDs. We had all the DVDs. And so I did week one, and you want to know the hardest day? It was a stretching day. It was absolutely a stretch. I'm like, what is this? I'm going to skip that one. And then week two, I said, I came up with some excuse and decided never to do it again. But I completely understood why people got in insane, phenomenal shape from doing P90X. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think I might reinvestigate.
You know, my story about that, I have a friend at the moment and he has the DVD. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, do you want to try it? So I said, okay, you can give it to me. The first workout, that guy was not my inspiration
yep.
at all. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He's actually my enemy. It's my nemesis right there.
So So then, you know what I did?
What did you do?
Insanity.
Oh.
With Chanti.
You went out of the fire. You went out of the frying pan and into the fire. That's
so right. I was like, okay, it's time to do it. Like, what workout? So, and I really enjoyed it when I did insanity. Like, that was after I had my first kid. Mm-hmm. And I follow their diet. Mm-hmm. And I did it very, like, I kept, like, doing the 2 months, and it really make, you know, I reach my goal. Like,
absolutely.
It really, yep. like, and that is the thing. Like, the motivation was mm-hmm. in there, right? I have a desire. I wanted mm-hmm. to, you know, be active and get better with my physical activity. So I was like, what I can get, what I can do. And then it was P90X.
Yeah.
Or it was Insanity. So it was like Chanti mm-hmm. motivates me to yep. to do everything. Nice. For me, he was so mm-hmm. great. Like the way how, and seeing him and the others doing the mm-hmm. same. And they were sweating, so I didn't feel alone.
Yes.
You know, I was feeling like they were going to the same process
yeah,
that I was doing at that moment.
And the fact that they're talking and they seem to really be enjoying themselves while they're doing it. They're like, oh, hey, take a 2-minute break. I'm like, I'll take a 20-minute break, and you'll be lucky if I come back smiling and laughing. No, I'm upset. But, In my mind, that's actually a really good motivator for me. The second I start talking back to this person who can't hear me. It's a DVD, right? It's mm-hmm. an instructor that's been recorded. The moment I'm like, why am I getting so upset at their ease of doing that? All right. I'm going to act, instead of 2-minute break, I'm going to take a 5-minute break. I'm going to come back and we'll see if you're laughing at the end of this. But I mentally understand it's been recorded. I'm like, all right. I'm gonna take it personally that they make it seem so easy. So I think I'm gonna blow off the dust off the DVDs and try it again, and I'll let you know.
And try again. I'm being like wondering if I should do like Saturday again. So one thing, right? Like I just start like it had that one have a lot of jumping.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
With for the knee.
Yep.
And then there are some things that you need to know. If your body mm-hmm. can do it, and also like be aware, right? Mm-hmm. Like listen to yourself and check mm-hmm. everything before you start doing any work out at home, especially if you don't have a professional that can guide you.
Yes.
Because then you can get injured.
Absolutely.
And then it will stop the process for a long time and you're not going to be happy.
Yes.
About it.
That definitely warrants repeating what you just said of being aware of what your limitations are and listening to your body. If you start jumping around and it hurts somewhere, the bottom of your feet, your knees, your hips, your back, your shoulder, your neck, don't do that one. Find an alternative exercise that you can do that'll push you there, because this is a moment where the self-awareness needs to be brought into check before you end up hurting yourself. That's the risk. Like, do you want to hurt yourself? I think most people would say no, right? Well, yeah. P90X.
Long time.
No. Have you ever met anyone who was, you know, that we'll say decent shape, but then they did P90X and just got into, they look like a professional athlete shape?
No. Wow. You too?
Yeah,
you?
I have. Yes. My uncle. I won't say his name, but one of my uncles did P90X.
Okay.
And got in ridiculous shape. And then his way of increasing it was to do it twice a day.
Okay.
He would do it in the morning before work, and he would do it in the evening after work. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The veins coming out of a six-pack.
And then how he is right now?
I'd have to check, but I'm pretty sure he just runs more. So I know one of the legendary stories that we have circulating in my family is how he walked on to a half marathon and he won.
Okay.
He placed first.
Right, so.
Yeah, so it's effective. Yeah, P90X works.
Okay.
So let's bring it back for a second and just remember, this podcast is all about you versus you. So me comparing myself to my uncle is not going to work. It's good as a motivator to say, oh, he wasn't always like that and he worked up to it. What can I do? Let me see if I can complete P90X. Oh, if I were a newbie to P90X, I'd never even heard of this, I would say, let me set the goal, 90 days, do this workout. I would say, mark what days you missed and how many times, see what those results were after the 90 days, and then try it again. And just try and beat whatever that record was, even if it was, you can only do 20 days. You only completed 20 of the 90 days. Try again. Maybe you do it again. You only do 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, try again. And just keep trying, and max it out, right? You'll know you're complete when you can say you successfully did 90 days. If that's now the goal, if that takes you 7 years, but you're constantly doing this program, oh, you're going to get in shape all right, right? It might not be, you know, the Navy SEAL. Like, all those people are Navy SEALs. Do P90X, right? I think they're all retired. That level of fitness became standard for them to do a workout. And then, you know, rightfully so, it became a trend that swept the nation and the world. But the whole thing now is saying we're all in different areas physically. And then with our experience with doing calisthenics and high impact workouts. So the whole thing with P90X is it's set up for you already. It's made for you to do at home or in front of a screen. The instructors are doing the workout with you. Now, let's see what you can do for those 90 days. Rinse, wash, repeat. Do it again, do it again, do it again. When you get to that point of having completed it, we'll say you finished 80 out of the 90 days. Try and do it flawlessly there, right? Because you've worked up to that. Mm-hmm. It's not, I messed up, so I quit. 3 years later, I messed up, so I quit. It's no. You tried it once. You did much better than you did if you had not ever tried to do P90X.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's there we go. There we have it. All right. Any final remarks? Anything you want to talk about?
There is something that I found that I would like to read to the listeners. it really got to me. So I say, pick the path, and this could be in the physical, you know, like fitness journey that you are, or in any area in your life, right? Pick the path that lights you up, the one that you know deep down is the right choice. Stop listening to doubt. Start connecting with courage. Do not let the idea of normal get in the way. It may not be the easy path, but you know great things take effort. Lean into your determination. Lean into your mission. Lean into the real you. And this is from John Pueblo.
Oh, nice. What, the poet?
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Yeah. I love that. I think the line that sticks out to me the most is the mission. Can you read that part about the mission? Know your mission or stay on your mission?
Lean into your determination. Lean into your mission. Lean into the real you. Yeah, it's like in your real you is like exactly like who you are and whatever you goals you have for yourself. Like if they're aligned with who you are, with the real you, you will get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think I need to add anything to that. I'm just going to let that sink in. Leaning into the mission. That sums up all of this. Oh, what's your goal? What's the path? What are the objectives along the way? What are the safety? How do I stack the deck to be in my favor to get to that goal? If you have all those things lined up, all you have to do is remember that mission and stay on mission,
mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, you veered off course, get back on mission. Oh, this other thing happened, just get back on mission. At some point, you are going to complete that mission.
That mission.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then my last thing will be enjoy the process, right? And be in the process and have grace with yourself. Because that is important. Not everything is going to be in the way that you maybe plan it and things happen to get through your mission. But that will help you to get better, to be stronger, and do whatever you plan for yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Sara Ai. Wow. Okay. I'm going to take all that, chew on it, and then assimilate it to my mission. I hope this is, I don't say that. I know this will impact a lot of other people. Everyone who hears your voice saying this, everyone hears your story, because you have so much to just take away and glean and then add it. So this is you versus you. Here are some keys to our success. We pass them to you. You have to unlock the door yourself and walk through it, though. Remember, it's you versus you. Big shout out to Music Mind Studios, Pasadena. You made it happen, and that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That's
Thank
a wrap.
You, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wish you the best in this journey.
Oh.
You are inspiring a lot of people.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Anytime you want to come back, let's do this.
Okay.
Anytime you want to talk. All right.
All right.